Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Ensemble, for singing and reminding us that's what it is all about. My friend, we're living in resurrection power. That's the way we're supposed to be living. If you're a saved individual, we don't have any business trying to wallow around in all that this world has. We've got a stronger, more victorious power to live in, and that's the power of the resurrection. I'm afraid many of us Christians, we live lower than our raising or our heritage would dictate that we should. We're worrying about the same things that the world worries about. We're fussing and fighting with all the things that the world is doing. And we ought to be living on a higher plane. We're living in resurrection power. Thank you, group, for singing for us this morning. What a wonderful, wonderful reminder. And we thank God for that. Well, it is a joy to be in church. And I'm thankful that God has not left us without a place to come and encourage one another. Could have just saved you and said, there you go, you're out on your own, I'll come get you after a while. But between the time he saved us and when he'll come get us, both those are going to happen. But between those two, he gave us an opportunity to come and have camaraderie and fellowship and be together and sing and preach and welcome each other and encourage one another and bear one another's burdens. And it's just a wonderful thing, as if God would ever do anything haphazardly. He doesn't, but he gave us a wonderful thing called the church to gather together. And thank you for being here. Praise the Lord for you, and thank you for just your part in that. I want to preach for a little while, and I do appreciate your prayers for my family, for my wife's family, and please keep, if you would, please continue to remember her and her siblings and dad in prayer. But I want to preach for a little while. This seems like God's been all over me this week to preach from Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to look at a familiar passage, verse 8 and 9, but we're going to look also at 10. While you're finding your place there in Ephesians, I did hear the story about this lady who was pre-planning her funeral, which is a good idea. It's not a bad idea. It's just because other folks are leaving doesn't mean we don't still have a little fun and joke. And this lady I heard about, she was pre-planning her funeral. She had never been married. She always lived by herself. And she was talking to the funeral director, and she said, well, I want to have all female pallbearers. And the funeral director said, well, that's awful strange. I don't think you really want to do that. It just sends the wrong, I don't know. He said, we can do whatever you want, but just don't really think so. He said, no, that's what I want to do. He said, are you sure you want to do that? He said, oh, yeah, she said, yes, that's what I want to do. And so he hit her back up. There was a niece or somebody was there, and he tried to use her to help the lady that was pre-planning the funeral to try to get her to say, no, don't do that. Why don't you just do it more traditional way? And finally, they argued back and forth, and he said, well, ma'am, if you don't mind me asking, can I ask you why you want to have all those females? She wasn't mad at men, wasn't anything like that. I said, well, can I just ask you why you want to have all female pallbearers? And she said, yeah, it's simple. She said, they wouldn't take me out when I was living. They ain't going to take me out when I'm dead. So, whichever you want to do. Churches like ours have championed sometimes verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians. Many of you can quote it, not most, but many of you can. But we're going to look at verse 8, verse 9, and then also verse number 10. And we find ourselves that although we've championed maybe what's the message and position of salvation being all by grace, and it is, but sometimes we leave off verse number 10, so let's look at it, if you would. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And I want to preach for just a little while about that phrase in verse number 10, his workmanship. And as we look at this passage this morning, we know that we do, as a church, we have stood for all these years that you don't work for your salvation. That's not going to change, because the reason it won't change, because it's not in the Bible. It's in the Bible that salvation is by grace, through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. You can't do a lot of good works and get God to finally say, wow, I like you good enough, I'm going to let you in. He loved us when we were unlovely. He saved us. He keeps us. He's all those things by his grace. Now, most of you know, many of you know that I like old cars. I got an old Camaro I'm trying to get finished one of these days to come down here. And you take people who are really have the ability to work on cars and know all about them. Brother Joey Green over here, he knows. And Jenny wanted me to say, you're spending too much money on those cars, Joey. I hate to tell you in front of everybody, but no, she didn't say that. You take somebody who knows how to work on them and how to make a, they're an artist really, doing all that body work and engine work and all that. They really like to show those things off. I know when I get mine done, I haven't done the work for it, but I want to show it off. I'll park it out here in the pasture spot, and you'll know, only on pretty days. So you like to show them off. Well, it's the same way with somebody, if they're a carpenter and they've done a great job. You know, I love our auditorium, and I always love every time I come in here and how beautiful of a job they did to highlight these windows and to redo the ceiling and the lights and all that. We like to show things off. And if somebody's good at sports, they like to show their ability. They love to get in there, maybe coach a little bit or instruct a little bit, if nothing else. At least be the armchair quarterback and tell people how they should have done it after they did it wrong. Heard about this one fella. He really loved football. He's getting ready for the big day. I don't know if you knew there was a game tonight, but you know, getting ready for that big game. And so he was just had everything. He had it all. Of course, he had it DVR'd so he could watch it after service, of course. But he had everything ready, the wings, the Coca-Cola, everything ready. And he was his wife was realizing that he loves this so much. I think he loves it more than me. And that thought wallowed around with her for a long time. And finally, he had done something and kind of minimized her love or his love for her, she thought. And she looked at him and she said, I think sometimes you like football more than you do me. That's the time to say, no, I don't, man. I know that you're waiting for the punchline. The answer is, oh, no, honey. No, 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 no. But he wanted to have a comeback to really impress her. But then the more he thought about it, well, maybe there was a little bit of truth in that, and he wanted to have a good comeback. He couldn't think of one that was great, and so the only one that he could think of was, yeah, but I love you more than basketball. How many of you know he needs our couples retreat? I tell you that story because whenever we know something very well, or we're good at putting cars together, or we're good at construction, carpentry, or we love the game, a game, we love to showcase our knowledge, not to be proud, I don't think, just because if you enjoy it, you want somebody else to enjoy it. And in this passage, we've got something that's being showcased or shown off or being exhibited as an exhibit in a museum. I want to get to that in verse number 10, but I want to work our way through verse 8 and 9 first. And I want to show you this if you want to take notes. I'm going to look at verse 9, then come back to verse 8, then go to verse number 10. I want to see the doom of our abilities in verse number 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We're going to look at the depth of His grace in verse number 8 in just a moment. But I want to see, first of all, and realize who all we are. Do you know why this salvation is not of works? It shows you in verse number 1 and 2 and 3. The reason it's not of works is because in verse number 1, it shows that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Now, we've all got the version that's been cleaned up a little bit. Now, don't tell anybody, but we're all still not much, even though we've been cleaned up. You just put a new suit on a same old person, except not the same old person because of salvation. But we were dead in our trespasses and sin in verse number 1, the Bible says. It gets worse than that in verse number 2. It says that you walked according to the course of this world. And it gets worse, according to the prince of the power of the air. We know from other parts of Scripture that that's none other than Satan himself. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And so we were bad. And if that's not enough, we were real bad. You say, preacher, I wasn't that bad. You're comparing yourself to some other people who are worse. It's amazing how when we want to make ourselves look good, we always pick somebody who's way, way down there. We'll pick somebody who's doing time in a federal penitentiary for something we'd never do. We say, well, we're not as bad as he is. If it's in church, we'll say, well, I at least come more than so-and-so. Or I didn't park as close, I didn't do this like they did. We always have something. But the truth of the matter is we're all in trouble. In verse number 3, the lust of the flesh. We were the children of wrath. We were finding ourselves in a bad way. That's why verse number 9 is true, not of works. It didn't matter how far you went down in you to mine out whatever the best it was that was down there and put it on the surface. It wasn't much. So much so that if in Isaiah chapter 64, the Bible talks about to that group of folks that their righteousness was as filthy rags. And that's even more disgusting than it sounds when you find out for exactly what all those that was. Just suffice to say that the best that we can do is not impressive to a holy God. Because even in our best, we'll say, yeah, but I came to church. You know why we came to church some Sundays? Maybe not this Sunday. You know why we came to church some Sundays? To impress somebody. How many of you came to church before for a girl? I think you're a bunch of liars. You're lying in church right now. How many of you ever went to a church service? The real reason you went was because there was a girl there. My hands up. That's why God led me to the church we started going to. But it didn't hurt that Amy Norris went there. So even when we do something good, we can't always have good motives with it. And so we understand that our righteousness is as filthy rags. I'm showing that the doom of our abilities, it put us in such a bad way. But here's where I find ourselves, and I want to hasten for time. Here's where I find ourselves in today, 2023, where we don't like to say that any of us are doing anything that's that bad. Society doesn't. We name things differently. We call an addiction, we'll call it a disease. We'll name something that someone has a great, great problem with sin, but we'll say, no, they're troubled with that. They have this, they have that. Let me illustrate it like this. All of you grew up in somebody's house. You know how parenting was. If you're over 40 or 50 in here, it's a whole lot different then than it probably is now. We're much more affirming even in our disciplining of youth. Now we would ask the child when they do something mean, how did that make you feel? Back in my day, they didn't care how it felt. As a matter of fact, they wanted me to feel worse after I did it than I did before I did it. They were more worried about the girl that you put a tack on her chair, more worried about how she felt than your feelings. Your feelings were out of the question right now. Would you mind, please, taking your foot off my tablecloth? Your grandma used to say, get your feet off my table, boy. They weren't too worried about your psyche or your feelings or your mentality. They didn't know if you had any at the moment. If it's not too much trouble, would you mind cleaning up some of the stuff in your room? As opposed to what used to be, then your dad came in and said, I own the whole house, I own the room that's in the house, and I own that room that you currently live in. If you don't clean up my room out of your junk, I'm going to clean it out for you. We're not as affirming as we used to be. You say, why would you say all that? Well, that's just a little bit of a trait of how our whole society views wrongdoing. Those are whimsical illustrations. I'm not really preaching about those things. But what I am saying is, what used to be clearly pronounced a sinful activity is now just deemed that's probably not a wise choice. Our society does not like to be called sinners. And it's making gospel preachers and gospel proclaimers at the most difficult place that we've been in our nation, because it used to be some evangelist would come in or some good coworker that loved the Lord and share with somebody that was unsaved, I know it. The way I'm living ain't going the right way for me. They may not be ready to accept the Savior, but they certainly were willing to admit that their lifestyle wasn't a pleasing one. And now we've shifted totally from that to where they don't want to be allowed to live in the way they're living. They want to be applauded for the way they're living. But where the Scripture says we find ourselves is dead in trespasses and sin, walking according to the course of this world, of the prince of power of the earth or the air. Folks, there are things that are wrong. There are things that are evil, and there are things that God strictly forbids. And that's where we got in trouble, because all of us have done some of them. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want you to see the doom of our abilities, but I want you to see in verse number 8 the depth of His grace. We've all gone to car dealers, and the car dealer wanted to show you all the options that this car has. Sometimes you get done, when they're done listing that, you say, yeah, but does it run? They've been so excited about all the other stuff. Let me just be that car dealer for a little while and show you the features of this grace. We see the depth of His grace in verse number 8, for by grace are you saved. Grace is the free and unmerited favor of God. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 2, we have access by faith into His grace. And listen to what else it says, wherein we stand. So our standing before the Lord, our hope of heaven being on the winning side, our hope of ever getting to glory, all of that, our hope, we stand, the Bible says, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And that's all made possible because we have access by faith into His grace. Amen. Somebody's made an acrostic, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. The Bible says this free, unmerited, non-partial, undeserved grace that God gives us, it allows us to stand in one of these days in His presence. It allows us to rejoice in hope. In verse number 8 of our text, it's what saves us, for by grace are you saved through faith. Thank God for grace. Some of us Christians, and I don't mean in this room, although if a shoe fits we can wear it, some of us have gotten so proud of all the things we do or don't do, or wow, we don't do it like, can you say that old fashioned kids word, phooey on all that. I'm thankful for every good deed, and we're going to get to that in just a little bit, but you've got to understand first of all that our good works has not put, anybody's good works has not put one soul into heaven. Right. Nobody's good accomplishments got anybody into heaven. Because the depths of His grace is the only thing that got us there. But I want to close out for the next few moments giving you what God seemed to impress upon me in verse number 10. As I mentioned, we've been very, very good at championing verse 8 and 9. No, you don't work for heaven, and we know that. But sometimes we have shied away from the responsibility of good works that are listed in verse number 10. Not listed, but explained. And I want to encourage each of us this week. You know I don't just come to play. I want to encourage you to do something this week. I want to encourage each of us this week to be bold in how we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because look at verse number 10. Let's look at it again. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship. What would show off God's ability as we live our lives this week? I would say us letting the works of God flow out through us. You say, how do you get that? Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We're supposed to be a billboard. You say, preacher, I'm not a very outward person. You don't have to be a loud billboard. You notice these billboards up on 24, you know what they do? They just stand up there. And you go up 26 and you see billboard after billboard, they just keep on advertising. Amen. None of us can work for our salvation. We've already worked that out, we've already planned that out and preached that out. But like one preacher said, works don't produce salvation, but salvation should produce good works. And so sometimes we champion it so much that you aren't going to work your way to heaven and you never will. We forget to leave on the tail end of that. But now that we're saved, let's get busy doing some good works. Christians are supposed to be working folk. They're supposed to be active. They're supposed to be seeing somebody who doesn't know the Lord yet and praying them in and working and living a good life before them, opening your mouth, telling them about the gospel, invite them to church, invite them to this outdoor night if they happen to be liking outdoor stuff, invite them to something, to the oasis, do something. We ought to be working individuals. We don't work for salvation, but boy, oh boy, salvation has done a great work in me. heard this old fella, he told me one time he got a car and he said, well, you know what, first thing I do when I get a car? I said, I have no idea. He said, I go out there and I take that name plaque off the back of it. Not the Chevrolet, but the dealer name tag or the stickers or whatever. I said, oh, really? Why you do that for? He said, they ain't paying me for advertising. I said, well, whatever, that's fine. Well, my friend, you're an advertisement for the Lord. Every one of us are. You say, oh, no, I don't speak. Well, we're not a very good advertisement, but you're still one. We ought to be good advertising for Jesus. As my grandma would say, let's do something for heaven's sake. She meant it the other way. For heaven's sake, let's do something. But we ought to be doing something for heaven's sake. Now, the good thing is, this work that I'm talking about, you don't have to work it up yourself. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to work in you, through you, in this present world that we live in. In the first part of this passage, it was Christ for us, verse number 8. In continues on, it's Christ in us. And then as we get to verse number 10, it's Christ through us. If you're counting on yourself to live a good life of good works, now I'm not talking about getting saved, I'm talking about now that you are saved. If you're counting on your ability to stand strong at every opportunity for wrong in your life, you'll still fall flat. You need something more powerful, someone more powerful than you. You need the Lord Jesus Christ to work through you. Let me give you this familiar verse. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians chapter 2. The grace of God should be on display to this world, but God's going to do like he's always done. He's going to use us. What were the duties of those Old Testament prophets? They're supposed to stand up and be a spokesman for God. What were the duties of those disciples? They were supposed to stand up and be a faithful servant to Jesus Christ, but then be a changed life, an example. And what's the scriptures give to all of us as Christians? We are his workmanship. One commentator put it like this. It's as if you were going into an art gallery and the artists would have put his work up there to be seen by the viewers. The Bible says we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And it's foreordained. It's already planned. It's already, that people argue about, or ordained before the foundation of the world, talk about all that. God's got plans for you that after you get saved, he's got it, as the scripture says, before ordained that we ought to walk in them. They all worry about it before salvation. God wants everybody to get saved. Some of us are hard-headed and they won't do it. They won't accept him. They'll reject him. But after you get saved, it is foreordained. It's predetermined. It's already told how he wants us to live. That's what he says. Before ordained that we should walk in them. In them what? In those good works. And my friend, you've either got one need or another today, and I'm going to shut it down. If you're here and when I told you about the doom of our abilities, you found yourself there. That's me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you've never received Christ, you've never believed on him as your only Savior and Lord, you need to be saved. And then if you're saved in this room today, you are supposed to walk out those doors and be on display. Say, preacher, I don't like to be on display. I don't know. That's just the way it is. You are his workmanship. Verse number 10. Let's read it one more time with reference to us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, I'm saved, unto good works, which God hath already taken care of before ordained that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship. Let's be a bright and shining light for Jesus Christ this week. Let's let our light so shine before men so they'll glorify you. No, that's not how it goes. So they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You say, I don't know if I can do it. I know you can't do it, but I know that He and Him working through us, we can. Amen. Let all of us go out as billboards for Jesus this week. What does that mean? You jump up on a table at your workplace, say, I got something to tell all of you all. That probably lands you in the psych ward, not reach your coworkers. Every situation is going to be different. But we can sure shine for Jesus when we handle what our coworkers are facing, but we handle it in a totally different way. And you ask them, you want to know why I can accept this? Because the Lord is with me. And we get to be a shining light for the Lord Jesus Christ because He allows us, He empowers us, and He has ordained it. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, we sure do need Your touch and Your help. Lord, I pray that You would help each and every one of us walk out of these doors determined to let You do a great work in our life. Lord, those that are saved, I pray that they would understand, we would understand that we're Your workmanship. We're on display for this old world so that we can rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Brother Richie here helping people get engaged in missions, trips, and missions for their life. What does a missionary do? They go to somewhere and try to be on display long enough, keep asking enough people, keep sharing the gospel long enough to see a group of people come to faith in Christ. Help us, dear Lord. We're Your workmanship. Bless us now is our prayer. If you're able to, would you stand together as our ladies play something through? If God speaks to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you need to be born again. You need to be saved. You've realized how desperate you are. Would you step out and come? Daniel, Brother Daniel's right in front of the pulpit that I preach from. We'd love to take a Bible and answer any questions you have and show you that how you need to be saved. Maybe you're here and you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We'd love for you to come and present yourself for that. Maybe you're here and need to be baptized. You'd like to come and present yourself for that. Follow Christ in believer's baptism. Whatever your need is, would you come? As they just play one more verse, and if the Lord's dealing with your heart, I invite you to come today. Thank you so much. You may look this way. What a joy it is for me as the pastor of this church to just get to stand here and preach each service and thank God for each of us. But we're so thankful this morning. My joy is to tell Brother Troy, Miss Anita Smith, they've been coming for a good while. And we're so they've been such a blessing to Amy and I, and I know many other folks in the church. And but they are saved and baptized, and they love the Lord, and they feel like God is leading them to unite in fellowship with Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I couldn't be more thrilled to announce that to you. And so we would need to make an official church vote. And so we would need somebody to make a motion. All right, Brother Steve Mullins makes a motion that we add them to our membership. We would need a second for that. All right, Brother Nathan Susong seconds that. All in favor, would you say aye? Aye. All opposed, same sign. All right. Amen. Motion carries. We're so thankful. They have been a blessing to us. And Amy got, and I got to spend, it's supposed to be Amy and I, but she was over with her parents. And Amy, Maddie and I got to spend a little time with them this week and eating. And so it was a joy to get to fellowship. And so we're so thankful they're there. Hopefully you'll get by to greet them, several of you, before you leave out. And then I'm going to ask the Richies to slip back to the lobby, and maybe your whole family could slip back there to the table and find out more about Camp Bimmy and the Connect Ministries. And but then also get a prayer card to pray for this family. Brother Richie will be preaching to the youth, the teenagers tonight. And so all teenagers, I invite you back tonight. Go downstairs to the youth center with Brother Kyle, Miss Anna, and they'll have a wonderful service. And then parents of those youth will go down afterwards and have fellowship and have a good time together. And I think that you'll enjoy being around the Richie family. I believe they're going to be a great, great blessing to you as you get to spend some time with them. So again, thank you for being in church this morning. It's a joy to have you here. And it's tongue-tied, I guess, but it's just hard to leave because you know how good it is to be for brethren together, to dwell together in unity. It's just a wonderful thing to be here. And thank you, thank you, thank you for being in church this morning. God bless you. You're dismissed.